The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations to any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate, qualified professional prior to making a decision. This information is not intended to be a substitute for individualized legal advice. Please consult your legal advisor regarding your specific situation. I'm Hank Stoltz, and welcome to another edition of the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners. Ryan Kittredge, president and financial advisor, is here. And joining Ryan is ClearPath partner Molly Brown. Now, Molly is going to be speaking to estate planning, everything that you need to know about estate planning. She is also, though, along with Ryan, going to be taking the approach today to really focus on people and how the information that you're getting today affects you, affects the people in your family, the people involved. So we do have some construction in the background that I will let you know about. We are broadcasting from Sherwood's Diner overlooking Polar Park, but let's turn things over now to Ryan Kittredge.
Yeah, absolutely, Hank. Thank you. Appreciate it. And thank you, Molly, for being here with me today. I'm excited for the show and to give the vocal cords a rest and let you take the mic a little bit. That'll be great. But yeah, I guess like you said, Hank, I think a lot of talk, whether it's radio shows or just discussions that I hear people have, even clients, bring up to us, a lot of it starts with, well, what can I do? Should I do trusts? Should I, gift my home, irrevocably, but retain a life tenancy? Should I be gifting? These kind of questions. And typically starts with, well, okay, what are you looking to do with that trust? Well, either I want to sort of protect it legally from some aspect, perhaps like nursing home care, or I want to essentially pay less in taxes or have my children have less of a tax burden on what's left behind, right? So it kind of starts there, but when you go a layer deeper or two, there's just a lot more important dynamics that we think you need to start with. And Molly's going to talk a lot about that, so more of the human side of estate planning.
Yeah, definitely. So estate planning really isn't just about the assets or the taxes. It's about the people and who they are today, who their family is, what those dynamics are like, and who that they might become in the future. So it's not only thinking about, the goal of minimizing taxes, how assets will flow, who ends up with what, but how it's going to affect those people and the impact it'll leave. Is the plan to split everything amongst the kids evenly? And that tends to be the default is, you leave everything initially to your spouse, you split everything equally amongst the kids. And when you operate with that as a default, you can quickly miss who people may be today or who they might be in the future as individuals and skip over their needs or lack of need and the ability to shift those in favor of what's actually happening in the lives of your descendants is something that if you default to regular designations for beneficiaries, it could easily be missed. Yeah, so it starts with really understanding what their family picture looks like. Is it, husband, wife, and kids? Is it a second marriage? Is it a blended family? Do they have charitable goals that they care about? Are their kids aware of their charitable goals? And starting there to really peel back the layers and look for, are there inner workings within the family that could bring up potentially difficult issues? And can you solve for that while you're here so that you don't leave your children or other family members kind of squabbling over what might come after your passing?
For sure, yeah. So there are important documents, no doubt, that you really should have in place, almost no matter who you are. And those kind of core documents are the will, the powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, perhaps a living trust. That makes sense. You can build from there, but there's sort of a foundational, kind of will package. That said, I think, what we talk a lot about, because we really, as much as we're interested in the technicalities behind it and the laws and the tax regulations, like in optimizing them. I don't want to say exploiting them, but at least knowing the workings of them so you can work well within those constructs. But we get a lot more excitement or satisfaction from understanding those family dynamics with the client. And, you know, the documents are necessary, but it starts with conversation and understanding. And we believe that there has to be communication along with it, because if things are, you know, there's a temptation, like everything in life, to just sort of avoid difficult conversations. What we've noticed is there's never a great time to talk about what happens after you're gone. So it almost like needs to be scheduled, you know, sort of an official family meeting, and like at least high level what your hopes and wishes are and who you expect to be involved, how, or else there will be confusion and misunderstanding after you're gone. The documents and the words on the paper don't tell the full picture.
Yeah, and Molly, I'm thinking not even just after you're gone, people who are planning, we see more and more people as we live longer and longer, and they're entering memory units. Maybe they begin just in a assisted living, and then it goes on to be in one of the memory units. And it's expensive, and I think that people are oftentimes worried about, here I've wanted to leave my house, or I've wanted to leave these assets. Am I still going to have those, and how can I make sure that those assets, such as my home, are protected?
Definitely, and I think that's part of why estate planning can be such a difficult topic to approach, is because it does force people to look at their own mortality and the potential that at some point throughout their next several decades, they could become incapacitated and be unable to make decisions for themselves, unable to care for themselves, and they have to elect someone to step in and make those decisions for them. And a document is just going to tell that person they're in charge. It's not going to tell them what your wishes are or really what to do. And take, for example, a power of attorney. They have the document, they're in charge, but say you have three children and one has the legal authority, but three have opinions. And that's where we can really see if, as Ryan mentioned, you don't have that family meeting and there isn't an understanding, you can really end up with some conflicts as far as, what do we do with mom? You know, you've got the decision maker, but then you've got two other kids who care a lot. And, you know, maybe they want an opinion, but when it comes down to it, whoever holds the documents and is elected really is the decision maker.
Mm-hmm. Is the one who has that power. I don't know, you see those old, well, my generation, you see those old Perry Mason episodes, and it was the executor of the will. But is that what we still have today? I mean, the executor, or what would you call that today? And is that somebody who really does have that ultimate authority and power?
Yeah, so there's a few different legal roles. Power of attorney is while you are living. Typically, people put it in place as a springing power of attorney, meaning it's irrelevant unless you are incapacitated, unable to make decisions by yourself, but you are living. Power of attorneys are no longer applicable once you pass. That's when you get into terms like executor, or now it's called personal representative, and that's the person that you've elected to get your assets through, you know, whether it's through probate or through trust planning, passed on to your beneficiaries, make sure the taxes are paid and that things are dispersed the way they should be. If that estate does include a trust, then the trustee can be a different person than the personal representative or executor.
Oh, yeah. Just one thought, Hank, I mean, regarding, you know, that age-old question of, well, what do we do with our house, right? Like, and most people, I mean, certainly most of our clients, most of them are homeowners. It's a significant source of wealth, given, you know, the fact that they're typically at this point debt-free, mortgage paid off, and we all know where home values are. So it can be a significant asset. But the question of what's the right thing to do, it's not as straightforward as, okay, great, flows through to the estate and you just, you know, you sell it and you split it three ways. That could be the right way to go about it. But what we've seen a lot are these essentially like misunderstandings about what's going to happen. And for instance, there might be one child who, you know, the parents, let's say they retired down the Cape and they've got a place in Falmouth. And the dad said at one point, you know, hey, Jimmy, you know, this place, I know you and your family, you're going to really like to use it more because, you know, you live in Worcester, you know, and your other siblings are further away. So I want you to have it. And, you know, we'll make sure it's like really fair for you. Yeah, okay, great, Dad. Would it, you know, we bought it for, you know, $400,000. You know, probably worth $1 million now, but we would just give you a really good fair value. Then there's that conversation. Nothing, you know, legally changes. Nothing in the documents change. Then the day comes where, after Dad's past services, all that, they're sitting in, you know, with the attorney's office. And we've been on both sides where we've worked with clients who were a sibling of someone in a situation like that, or the one who had that expectation. And for it to be a surprise at that moment, that's where we've seen these resentments created that can create fractures where the brothers and sisters say, you know, Jimmy, we're not giving it to you for $400,000 what mom and dad paid for it. Like, we've got kids with college that we're looking at. And so the market value is such, and Jimmy can't afford a mortgage on $1 million house, you know, as an example. So they want to sell it. And then there you go. Then you're in a kind of a pickle.
All right. You are listening to the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners. You are listening to the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners. Make sure you're checking in with them at clearpathfinancialpartners.com. Ryan Kittredge is with us, president, financial advisor, founder of ClearPath Financial Partners. And partner Molly Brown, financial planner, is with us as well, lending us her expertise about estate planning, family planning. And as you've heard, a lot of times, Molly, we want to have the whole family involved. I was struck actually by something that you had said too, power of attorney. But then mom or dad no longer with us. I don't know, if I was the power of attorney while mom and dad were alive, I'm probably thinking, hey, I'm still in charge here. But legally, that wouldn't be correct.
Yeah, exactly. And that is something that not everyone realizes. You know, obviously, attorneys do their work up front to make sure that it's communicated. But after years of, say, someone serving, signing checks, operating in that capacity, they may not realize that at passing, they can't do those things anymore. And now it does need to default back to the estate plan. And you look at the will, if there's a trust, and whoever's designated there, if it's not the same person, they're now the person taking over and driving those decisions.
Yeah. And you have to be even not to go, I don't want to go deep into the technicalities of it. But the other piece is that if you have an estate plan that includes a trust, a lot of times more attention is given to the customization of the trust. And the assumption is that, oh, hey, everything we have is going to be based on these trust provisions. But where the rubber doesn't meet the road is they don't properly fund the trust through correct titling or beneficiary designations of assets. And so we've seen where a family was a little bit blindsided because, like, hey, we had this trust, or dad thought they had this trust, but now we're, you know, hearing from the estate attorney that there's like nothing in it, and all goes by these different provisions on the estate that they hadn't updated, which is a huge fail that we do see.
Wills and trusts and trustees and power of attorneys and executors. Do we need to define some of these terms? I mean, what's the difference? If I have left a will, do I need to leave a trust as well? Can I just have my will and that will take care of things?
Yeah, so I think that's a, you know, something that it's really person to person. It's why finding out the goals first before we work with a client to problem solve or troubleshoot for their estate plan, you got to understand what their goals are first, because not everyone needs a trust. It may not be the best thing. And I mean, everyone should have a will of some kind. Power of attorney, great document to have, because the likelihood that at some point during your life, someone else needs to make a financial decision on your behalf, it's pretty likely it happens to most people, whether it's in your elder years or, you know, you're in an accident, you're incapacitated, somebody needs to pay your bills for you. But when it comes to, you know, what documents write for every family, it really is all the way back to uncovering what those goals are, and then determining if there are, you know, whether it be family complications, a complicated asset, like Ryan mentioned, a house that you want all your kids to inherit, those things can warrant trust planning.
So Ryan, let's talk a little bit then about what you just brought up, and positives, stories that you have dealt with, some of the personal experiences that have come through ClearPath Financial Partners when it comes to family planning.
Yeah, I mean, all the time. We're problem solvers. We help people resolve these things, or at least find the best way to handle them when presented with an issue, which is typically, you know, if we're working with that client, especially for more than a couple few years, I mean, they should have a pretty solid estate plan, and we shouldn't be scrambling last minute to get things fixed or clarified. But a lot of times they're part of this, right? Their parents, their siblings, it could be a more distant relative who they were named as a trustee for their view, or their cousin who had addiction issues, or whatever the case may be. So Molly, maybe talk about one recently, about a challenge and how we overcame it.
Yeah, definitely happy to. So part of it, I mean, you said to talk about the challenge, is sometimes the clients aren't even aware that there may be a challenge. It's, you know, the case I'm thinking of specifically, married couple, they have no children together, but the husband had children from a previous marriage. The wife was the primary breadwinner, has sufficient assets, and wants to take care of her husband if she passes first. So in her mind, just, it's simple. You leave everything to your husband. And through our conversations, figuring out that she really didn't want to support her children, or his children rather, after her passing, she didn't have the realization to say that, you know, she passes away first, her husband would inherit everything, and then he's likely to change the beneficiary to his children, meaning that her nieces and nephews would inherit nothing.
In fact, even if he doesn't change it, that's like the default.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to go to her nieces' nephews that she wants to provide that support to.
Yeah, so that's just one where she came into it not even thinking like there's any work to be done. And for us to kind of look out and see that red flag in the plan, where we know the goal isn't to support her stepchildren, it's to support her nieces and nephews. And that's a case where we've defined the goal, we see the issue, and it's an easy conversation to transition that to like, hey, here's some options for how to solve for that.
For sure. Hey, and there are clients that I can think of that we're going over other things, right? They're, you know, priorities that were before that, because estate planning isn't usually what people are running to us excited about, right? It's like either great stock option opportunity through their company, or they're, you know, wanting to retire, or something like this kind of positive thing they're looking forward to. Estate planning, they're usually like, oh yeah, no, definitely. We do want to talk about that at some time. When? It's never now, right? And so a common response we've gotten is, oh yeah, no estate planning. Yeah, no, we're all good on that. And because, you know, we have an attorney and we did some things. We're like, awesome. Like, we totally want to make sure that we have all that information on file. And then it's only through discussion and then reading through the documents and asking the right questions of the attorneys that we've uncovered that it actually isn't, you know, it is a bit disjointed, or in fact, it's not at all how they intend it to go.
Yeah, the two things that you already brought up, one, none of us want to face our own mortality, and the other is that you genuinely think, my kids all love each other and everything is fine, right up until you have a $400,000 house in Falmouth that is really worth $1 million that two out of three kids may see a little bit differently than the one that dad was talking to about, hey, you'll love this and enjoy this with your family as much as we all did when I'm gone. So
right.
This is actually, it would seem to me, Ryan and Molly, all of what we have talked about today is necessary so that you can stay a happy, loving family, and there aren't going to be some of these rifts or strifes after mom or dad or somebody is gone. Mm-hmm. If you just have it all in writing and you just have it all prepared, then it takes away a lot of that stress.
Indeed. And I mean, and sometimes those, and I think really, again, just to emphasize it, is to have those hard conversations, right? If you're, for instance, if you are, let's say you have three children and one of them is a surgeon in Los Angeles and he's, you know, worth $1 billion. And then the other, you know, couple kids need some help. And so you just say, all right, well, we're going to, you know, split that. John doesn't need that support. He's all set. Did you tell John that? Like, does he at least know? You know, because sometimes even there's a bypass or somebody included in a plan or opting out but it actually creates more tax consequences and challenges than the, you know, had they just done it a little bit differently. You really have to make sure that people are okay with it. You don't want those surprises after the fact.
Yeah, that communication, I think, is key, not only like once the plan is in place, but as you're choosing the people to serve. If you are thinking about who's going to be your executor, who's going to be trustee, who's power of attorney, electing those people, they should know that before it's in the documents. They should, you know, be willing to fill that role. They should understand it and understand like any implications of being in that role and be willing to serve. Otherwise, it can be complicated on the other side to find someone else to step in after you're gone, and to make sure that they really know how to move that forward and who the right people are.
That's right. We facilitate some of those family powwows, right? And sometimes it's in person. We've got people huddled around, you know, eight people in a conference room. More often these days, it's maybe a couple in person and then the other family members connecting on Zoom. And we hash it out and we have an agenda and we say, hey, these are the things we want to cover. And we kind of just air it out clearly. And then there's room for conversation and stuff after that. But I think that's a good approach that we recommend.
Oh, that is a great point about you don't want anybody to be surprised. I could only imagine. And Hank will make the decisions. Oh, Dad, what have you done to me? I don't want to be the one to make the decision.
Some don't want it at all. And we've had clients that have literally experienced like hospitalized, physical events, heart palpitations and similar panic attacks that have landed them in the hospital. No exaggeration. From the rest under the pressure and the conflict within a family. We've seen it.
I can imagine. Molly, we have just a couple of minutes left in this broadcast of the Clear Path Financial Partners podcast. What else do we need to know?
I think it's really, you know, how we work with clients on the financial side is also how we think about it from the estate planning side. It really does go back to the goals. And while estate planning is definitely about how assets get dispersed at your death, it's absolutely about will there be taxes due. Before you get to that, it has to be, like everything else we do, about the people, about their goals, and how you can put things in place that will create alignment while they're here to give them peace of mind. They can communicate it to their family. And then after they're gone, you're not left with either conflicts, confusion, or unnecessary estate tax or complications. So those are the way that we think about it. And it's not fun. Like Ryan said, no one comes running to us to talk about estate planning. But when you make it about goals, it becomes a little more approachable and more of a problem solve than a checklist item that you got to get done and just get in place.
Totally. And you know, the whole idea of money as a tool, the whole reason that the parents wanted to leave their kids and, you know, preserve it from taxes and nursing homes and all of that is to make their lives better off. But I will say that I've never seen a family ripped apart because there was an extra few percent tax on the inheritance. But I have seen it when they deemed that there was not fairness and there were misalignment.
Ryan, anything we else to need to know? And how do people get in touch with ClearPath Financial Partners?
They can get in touch with us by giving us a call or going online. They're right to our website, clearpathfinancialpartners.com. And you can learn a little bit about us under our services and FAQs and all that. And feel free to shoot us an inquiry and Molly or I will get on the phone and chat with you.
You have been listening to the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners. For more information, go to clearpathfinancialpartners.com. For Ryan Kittredge and Molly Brown of ClearPath Financial Partners, I'm Hank Stoltz. Thank you for joining us. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations to any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate, qualified professional prior to making a decision. This information is not intended to be a substitute for individualized legal advice. Please consult your legal advisor regarding your specific situation.